when we come for salvation, He invites us to come just as we are. Amen? But He doesn't expect us to stay just as we are. We can come for salvation just as we are, but once we are saved, God does not expect us to stay just as we are. God desires change.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In his message last week, Pastor Grant spoke of the power of the gospel to save, to deliver, and to transform even under the worst of conditions. In this week's message, entitled Under Construction, Pastor Grant takes us back to Acts chapter 18 as he helps us to understand just how it is that gospel power has the power to transform even a life ruined by sin into a life that is a trophy to God's saving grace. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 18 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings a message from God's Word, Under Construction. Here now is Pastor Grant.
An elderly man was dying, and he called his doctor and his manager for a final visit. And when they came, the old man said, he said, they say you can't take it with you, but I'm going to give each of you an envelope with $100,000 in cash. He says, at my funeral, I would like each of you to slip this envelope into my jacket pocket. He said, just in case I need some money in the next life, I will have at least $300,000 to do what I need. So at the funeral, of course, you know, the three friends were seen slipping something into his coat pocket as they walked by the casket. And afterwards, the three guys, they got together. The doctor said, I have a confession. He said, the hospital is in need of funds. And so I took $20,000 for a new CAT scan machine, and I put $80,000 in the coffin. The minister confessed, you know, our church has a big ministry to the homeless. He says, and I couldn't see burying all that money. So I took $50,000 out for the homeless, and I put the rest in his pocket. Of course, the businessman, he was upset. He says, I can't believe you guys. He was our friend. He says, I want you to know, I placed in the casket my personal check for $100,000. God was certainly not finished with any of them yet. And he's still working on you, and he's still working on me. Amen. I want to speak today on the subject under construction. Last week we had the opportunity of sharing the gospel of how that God, in his mercy and his awesome power, he is able to save everyone. But you know, when we come for salvation, he invites us to come just as we are. Amen. But he doesn't expect us to stay just as we are. Am I right about that? We can come for salvation just as we are, but once we are saved, God does not expect us to stay just as we are. God desires change. And so immediately after salvation, he begins a major construction project in our lives. The Bible uses the word sanctification to describe what God does. Sanctification. Let's take a minute and look at the nature of sanctification. What is sanctification? The word sanctify means to be set apart for God's exclusive use. Sanctify means to be holy. The moment we came to Christ, God sanctified us. He set us apart for himself. The moment we got saved, God made us holy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it reads as follows. It says, by that will, That's God's will. By that will, we have been what? We have been sanctified. You can read it with me. We have been sanctified what? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word sanctified in verse 10 is a perfect passive participle. Let's dust off our grammar for a minute. The word sanctified, it's in the perfect tense, which means it's in the past. A believer's sanctification is a completed work. I don't want you to miss that. Your sanctification, God has made you holy. The minute you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that moment He sanctified you. He made you holy. It's in the perfect tense. But it's in the passive voice. What does that show? It is something that was done to us, not something that was done by us. Amen? Jesus did it all. He did it by the offering of His body. The verse tells us, by the offering of His body, that the crucifixion, the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, is the work that has brought us sanctification. It's a participle. It describes who we are. We're sanctified. That's our identity. God made us holy. Do you realize the Bible calls those who believe in Jesus Christ, it calls us saints. You see, there's a church that tells you that the only way you can become a saint is you've got to be first what?
Dead.
And after you're dead, a couple of people have to say you did a miracle and all sort of other stuff. And then eventually you go through some council and somebody eventually says you are a, what is the term? I don't remember what when they make you a saint, what it is. But they eventually make you a saint. But I'm here to tell you that I'm a saint in Christ. The moment I trusted Jesus Christ, I was sanctified. I was declared holy. That describes who I am. It describes who you are. You are a saint. But you say, Brother Brian, I don't feel like a saint. In fact, to be honest, Brother Brian, some of the stuff I did last week. In fact, for somebody may say, Brother Brian, some of the stuff I did this morning actually shows me I'm really not a saint. Hold up. You see, if you are saved, you are sanctified. I don't want you to ever forget that. If you are saved, you are sanctified. You have been set apart for God. You have been made holy. Here is the issue, though. As I said, the Bible indicates there are two aspects to sanctification. The first theologians describe as positional sanctification. And positional sanctification deals with our standing before God. It's how God sees us in Christ. That aspect of sanctification happened the day you and I got saved. The day we got saved, our standing before God was perfect. It cannot be improved on because the blood did a perfect job. Amen? But positional sanctification talks about our standing before God because that's how God sees us in Christ. But there's a more important aspect of sanctification, and it's called progressive sanctification. And this has to do with our state. This has to do with our actual spiritual condition. And let's be honest, our actual spiritual condition is not perfect. Can I get an amen on that? We have some stuff that needs to change. I hope you're following with me this morning. You see, positionally, we are perfect positionally because God sees us in Christ. He sees us in the finished work of Christ. Brother Peters a couple weeks ago pointed out to us that we are in Him. You remember that message? We are in Him. We're in Christ. And when God sees us in Christ, He sees us as being perfect. There's nothing better, nothing to be added. The challenge, though, is my daily life. God wants my daily life to line up to my position in Christ. He wants them to match. We were in New York a couple weeks ago, and they were celebrating Good Riddance Day at Times Square. People gathered to say goodbye to negative things. And one man was there, and he was beating on his computer with a hammer. I don't know what the computer did to him, but he was pounding on that computer. He wanted to get rid of this computer. Some of the girls were writing the name of their boyfriend on a piece of paper and putting it in the shredder. Sayonara. Perhaps there's some girls or some guys who need to write somebody's name. Let's get a shredder outside. Because, you know, sometimes we have some of these relationships that need to end, and we keep dragging them out. Oh, that's not my message for today, but sooner or later we're going to get there. Amen? Somebody needs to say sayonara. It's over. It's not what God wants. Some folks were shredding credit card statements. Now, I hope they had paid the thing off. In case they think just shredding it got rid of the bill. You know, you still have to pay that bill. But you know, God has a better plan than Good Riddance Day. Through the process of progressive sanctification, God is making us holy. Not just in our standing, He's making us perfect in our daily walk.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Through the process of progressive sanctification. Let's look at an example at the difference between positional and progressive sanctification. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think some of you will remember that last week I shared with you that Corinth was one of the most depraved places. Do you remember that? Corinth was known to be Sin City. Corinth had a major sex problem. So here we are now, and let's read some of the verses we read last week. In verse number 9, it says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual inventors, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunks, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, he says they are sanctified. Let me ask you, give me some feedback. Do you think he's talking about positional or progressive sanctification? What's that? No, he's not talking about progressive. Those of you who shouted about progressive, I'm glad you participated. This was all positional sanctification. He was saying to them that despite your depravity, God has sanctified you. God has made you holy, that in Christ you are perfect. You said, "Brother Brian, how do I know that?" Because just turn the page. The very next verse says, "Everything is made permissible for me." But let's start at verse 15. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body and spirit?" That the sexual stuff had gripped them. Look at verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not even occur among pagans. A man has his father's wife." Do you see that? You see how this Bible don't hide any stuff? So here we are in the church of Jesus Christ, the church of Corinth, and one of the brothers in the church is having sex with his stepmother. And the apostle says, "And nobody's doing anything." Oh, we're going to get to that in message number 3. Because the church has some responsibilities. Because, you see, this process that God is working on us to get us from the day we got saved and to make us what we ought to be. This process, there's a lot of aspects. There are a lot of tools that God is going to use to get us to what we ought to be. So what is it? What is the goal? What is God's objective? What is He trying to make you look like? The goal of sanctification. What is the goal? To conform us to the image of Christ. The goal of sanctification, of progressive sanctification, is to conform us to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says this, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed," what? "To the image of His Son." Don't miss that. God foreknew you. He chose you. And don't miss this part. He predestined, He determined in advance that you and I are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. You say, "Brother Brian, do you realize what I'm like?" God doesn't really care how He found you. The day He saved you, positionally, He made you holy, and now He is working a process to make you look holy. Amen. A man asked a sculptor, "How do you sculpt the way you do?" The sculptor replied, "When you look at a stone, you see a stone." He says, "But when I look at a stone, I see an image inside of the stone." He said, "All I do is focus on chipping away what's blocking the image." Did you get that? He looks at the stone. He sees the image in the stone. And he's chipping away at the stuff that's blocking the image. Aren't you glad that when God looks at you, He doesn't just see your mess? Aren't you glad that when God looks at you, He sees the end product? That when God looks at you, He sees what He is making you into. That He sees the image of Christ in you. And that's why I'm thanking God that He's working on my life. God is steadily chipping away at the stone, and He's getting rid of all the that's preventing the image of Christ in you. But thank God, one day we are going to be like Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank God He's not finished with us yet. He won't stop until we are like Jesus. We used to sing a little song, "Little by little, every day, Jesus," what? "Is changing me. Little by little, He's changing me." And then the psalm says, "Sometimes it's slow going, but sure knowing that someday perfect I will be." And what a true song that is. Little by little. My friend, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this process of progressive sanctification, God is using it to make you and to make me more like Jesus every day. And every day He's chipping. Oh, I know sometimes you don't want to cooperate. Sometimes you say, "I like the way I am." Fess up. Some of us are like, "I like the way I am." Guess what? He don't like the way you are. So guess what? He going to chip. You keep muscling up. Sometimes, as we're going to get to eventually, you're going to find that if you keep resisting, sometimes the chipping, it will hurt. You see, God has already made up His mind that you are going to be like Jesus. You are going to be holy. And if you want to resist it, here comes the chisel. Not a little chisel. It might be a bigger chisel than you would like. But thank God, this ministry of the Holy Spirit, even as He chisels, He comforts, and He gives you grace to deal with all the challenges. Let's talk about the process of sanctification. How did God change those sex-crazy Corinthians? How did He get these crazy folks to be like Jesus? How is he going to change us to be like Christ? Today I'm going to share three ideas, three tools that God uses. Next week I'll start drilling down some more and talk about how God is going to help you to overcome some life-dominating things. Because some of us have come to Christ with some life-dominating stuff. And next week I want to drill down. And the third week we're going to keep moving along on this same subject, under construction. How is God going to get me from where I am to get me to look like Jesus? Well, the first thing he does, he provides training in the Word. Acts of the Apostles, let's go back there. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verse number 23. The Bible tells us that after spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all those. Now, for those of you who have been following, we are now, Paul has now started his third missionary journey. So the second one ended in verse number 22. And now here he is starting a brand new missionary journey. Paul is on his third missionary journey. And he starts off by returning to cities he previously visited because he wants to further train these disciples in the Word of God. For example, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 18, verse 11, it tells us that Paul stayed in Corinth 1.5 years teaching them the Word of God. The process of sanctification requires that we must study the Word. There is no shortcut to that. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to put it up on the board for you, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you see what it says about the Word of God? If this Word of God is so important for your instruction in righteousness, if this Word of God is so important for your completeness, for your and I equipping to do good, it is impossible to grow in grace without studying the Word of God.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.